I'm just be speaking in 1 Chronicles 27 of some of the men that had responsibility under David. And those last two hymns, one was that we got our high priest. And now as our high priest above does intercede for us with God. And the other last hymn was, what will he not bestow? What will God not bestow because of what he has done for us? And so we'll be reading 1 Chronicles 27. Now, if we please to turn to I want to read verse 28. What I'd like to just say too, we've got another 40,000 Gospels of John coming from America. 40,000. And next year, we hope to have 100,000. So I've really been thinking of you, dear folk, here, and Bundamba, that if we could come up, if you were interested, and we'd be able to come up and have some meetings with you, you know, at least we could do at least, you know, a couple of weekends, or fit them in, or do something like that. But it takes a lot to give out those Gospels of John, and it may be that we may be able to get the post or the people who deliver those things and just pay a little bit of money for them and to deliver around the area, and we could be up here and we'd still go visiting and then have meetings. And Eric Russell said he'd help us too, so my mate from Dubbo might come up as well. So if you'd like us to do that, you can just keep that in mind praying about it, but we'd be very interested to help in doing that, you know, and help at Bundamba. And then we leave in May after our first family service of May, in the beginning of May. Then we're heading down there, Dubbo, Tottenham, and over to South Australia. We've got a couple of weeks of meetings at Cowell and a couple of weeks of meeting at Wyala. They're just a small group. But Alan McWilliams is there, who was with Umiwala Mission. Alan McWilliams, he's a lovely brother. And so with the folk there, we're hoping to have meetings, and Eric's going to meet up with me at Wyala in the last week, and then we'll go to Port Augusta, and then we're going up to Alice Springs, through the centre, Tennant Creek, and then North Queensland again. So we'll just see how things sort of fall out. But that's what we're sort of working at the present. So you can pray for all them, and if it's a possibility you'd like us to do it, we could either, maybe even, you know, we won't get those Gospels of John probably till the end of August or September or something. Whether we did something then or earlier next year, we can do something then, or do Bundamba, or do, you know, a bit of work in between. But we've been asked if we'd go to India, so I just don't know. That's a big thing. So Johnny Pandy, I took up here for speaking, but his wife's coming over in this time, and I thought the only way I'd come if we could go with you. I don't feel like travelling this world. I'm not real good. I'd like to have my vehicle around me. So John's coming out then with his wife in October, so we may. I don't know though, but I would think that we probably end up well going, because he's a real evangelist, John, but he's he said when we see people get converted there, they need good, simple, straight teaching, and the tabernacle and our model of the tabernacle we had over there a few years ago was pretty helpful. So he was pretty keen that we would bring that over again and teach from it in a practical aspect. A lot of the Indian teachers are well read, they're very theologically well trained, but some of them, you know, miss a little bit on the practical side, on simplicity, which probably us Aussies might be able to just help a bit there, but we'll wait and see what happens in the future, eh? So you can pray for that for us, and that's not set in concrete, but they've asked us, he's been asking me, you know, for a while to do that. Okay, in 1 Chronicles 27, just the verse 28, over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hanan and the Gederites, and over the sellers of oil was Joash. You'll notice that the word sellers is always rendered the treasures. They're treasures. The treasures of oil the verse before it talks about the treasures of wine. And wine and oil is often in the scriptures. It says in Revelation, hurt not the oil and the wine. And remember the Samaritan man that came in and poured oil and wine into the wounded man. But here, I just want to speak a bit about the oil and the olive trees, where you got the oil from. So you got the fruit from the olive trees that gave oil, and then you had the sycamore trees, and a fellow called Baal Hanan was looking after that. Baal means Lord, Hanan means grace. So the Lord of grace, who does that remind us of? Huh? Yeah. See, in all the scriptures are things concerning himself, and we can pick up in the scriptures and see, and especially with your meanings of pronouns, when you look up your book there, you'll get the meaning of many of the words, but some of them are so very simple, hitherto hath the Lord helped us and all that, and the name of children, Joseph, because he will add, and here was the fellow Baal Hanan, the Lord of grace. He was looking after the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains. You know, the low plains of life also are hard ones to live through, whereas people like to be on the mountain top. Their experience is often up high. And that's a lot of our charismatic people. They sort of like to be on the high, but when the low comes, some of them can't handle it. Many of them fall out, drop out. But the low plains is a sort of a constant amount of low, for time. And that takes some sticking with, doesn't it? When things don't seem to be changing much and things just a steady plodding on, that's required. Baal Hanan, the Gederite. Now, notice the Gederite means an enclosure. And sometimes God may enclose us, like Satan knew that about Job. He said God has hedged him in, but we can be hedged in for another purpose, so that God can work with us. Or we may have these low planes that we're living through, but it's there where the fruit came, and so we got the fruit of the Spirit. The oil speaks of the olive oil of the Holy Spirit, and so the olive trees, the sycamore trees, the fruit of the Spirit. And it says that sycamore tree has a large sort of blackberries. It's pleasant acid flavour. And so some of the things are, a bit acidic in our life, or a bit bitter, that we have to go through. But the Lord is able to guide us and direct us, and being the Lord of grace, to have consideration for us. And then it says that over the cellars of oil, or the treasures of the oil, was a bloke called Joash. And you'll notice that his name has two meanings. One is, Jehovah became man, and Jehovah has helped. I thought, isn't that incredible to have a man looking after the treasures of oil, whose name is referring to the Lord Jesus? Joash, Jehovah became man, and Jehovah has helped. The folk who teach that the Lord Jesus was not God, if they could only pick up on these little simple things. Jehovah became man, because as we read John chapter 12, it says, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, when it says, he spake of him, and when he saw his glory and spake of him. That's the truth of the Old Testament, that Jehovah, or the Lord of the Old Testament, is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Because all the talk was of the Lord, or Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, and Jehovah my provider, Jehovah Rafika, Jehovah of all those, 17 different titles given to Jehovah in the Old Testament. Jehovah Rahi, the Lord my shepherd. And, all those attributes of the Lord are understood by the names relating to Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah, all those, the Lord is there. Well, Joash means the Lord, or Jehovah became man, and Jehovah has helped. Well, when we turn over to the Epistle of Hebrews, we may just read there in Hebrews chapter 2, we'll read that he, because the children of flesh and blood, he took part of the same. And verse 16 says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Can't people really realise that that is looking at the Lord before he came into this world, that he was there with God, and he took on him not the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And verse 17, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tested, he is able to succour them that are tempted or tested. So here, Jehovah became man, and to be a merciful and faithful high priest. So the Lord of grace, right, looking after the olive tree so that they get the oil, right, and then Joash, Jehovah become man, and Jehovah has helped. He's able to succor them that are tested, because why? He's been like us, with a body, excepting he's without sin. And then chapter 4 tells us in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tested like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, find grace to help in time of need, because our great high priest, who is the Lord of grace, he's at the throne of grace, isn't he? Here we have not a throne or the great white throne of judgment, but during our lifespan he's there at the throne of grace, and we're encouraged to come confidently to it, that we may obtain mercy, and he can be merciful, and he's faithful, and we can find grace to help in our time of need. So Jehovah not only became a man, but he is able to help. So we look at those aspects of oil or the work of the Holy Spirit, and think of in Pilgrim's Progress, where in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian said, he saw the devil pouring water on that fire that spoke of love for Christ. And he said, I wonder why it didn't go out. He said, until I looked behind the fence, and there was the Lord pouring in the oil. He was putting in the oil to keep the fire burning. You know, and the devil tries to put out that love for Christ in our lives, doesn't he? And trying to turn us away. But the Lord is there, and he just brings in the needed oil or the work of grace in our hearts to keep us soft towards the Lord, and to keep us with the proper understanding that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And though we may not see it at the time because of the trials and whatever we go through, yet he's able to help us through. And then when we are through it, we look back and see the value of whatever we go through. Now, okay, where did this fellow Joash come from then? Why would you want to put him over the treasures of oil? Because the Lord has that, hasn't he? The Lord's work is the Spirit of God he would send, that Spirit of truth. Well, here's a fellow who had a big responsibility of looking after the oil and the other fellows, and so who would you give that job to? Who was the Lord then? Could we really trust him? Huh? When we go back to chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles, we just have a little instance there. Chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles, verse 1 to 3. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. And the chief was Ahaziah, then Joash, the sons of Shema, the Gibeothite. Well, his two brothers. Joash, right? And no doubt this Joash was the fellow that David put in looking after the oil. I wonder, did David ever know the meaning of his name? Or was it a man like Baal-Hanan who'd worked in the vineyards and fields, and this fellow understood cold pressing of oil and all that sort of work? You know, it says of Ruth, the Moabitess, her hap was to land on the land that Boaz had owned and worked there. And often we see how that in life things just happen, that they're there of God's direction, and we don't even realise it until afterwards we look back and say, hello. Yeah, I did my apprenticeship in the railway workshops in Ipswich, and Tom McCrindle and Frank Alloway were the tradesmen there. Yeah, and when there was a terrible tragedy happened, Tom really was an amazing person to stick with you and help you, and I got saved in his home. So you see that things just happen sometimes, and you wonder how that was God's controlling. That often is the same as a partner in life. Often God can look back and you say, well, hello, how did that happen? And it's just happened, you know, it's just happened. Well, the Lord's in control of circumstances, isn't he? And he was in control of having the fellow whose name means the Lord in his becoming a man and becoming a helper and being our high priest. He had the man who was a pretty good sort of a bloke, because they were helpers of the war and they were mighty men and they were armed. They were not weaklings when they had a responsible job to do. And God calls us to have courage, doesn't he? To have courage. And it says that they were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of the bow, even of Saul's brethren, of Benjamin. Well, how come they moved away from Saul? Huh? I think they probably realised that Saul had lost the plot. Huh? And he was chasing David and trying to put David to death, and he forgot the job he had to do. And we've always got to be careful, haven't we, with our job, the work we have, because the devil will take us aside. And we can get hooked up into things, and, you know, especially when problems come and things hit us and things like that. But our real purpose to try and keep focused on the things of the Lord, and of course to have good perception of what we should be doing. If we turn over to Philippians, please, just Philippians is a verse there that I think is helpful to us. In Philippians, it tells us, you know, Paul was careful with the work of the Lord. He reminded people that they work the work of the Lord as I also do, you know. And of course, that can easily be forgotten by some. But what does he say in Philippians chapter 1? He says, verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are more excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ. See, here is something that your love may abound more in knowledge and all discernment or judgment, and that you may approve things that are more excellent or better. So what does that mean? We've got to be willing to change, isn't it? If we see things that are better, then we should be willing to change. And change is one of the hardest things in people's life. I'm always sort of satisfied with just inconsistent stuff, and same for breakfast, the same thing. I never worry about a change in breakfast. I could eat the same. The wife throws a few different things around, but just simple things, I'm quite okay and just plodding on. I don't need to have much change. But change for good is not just change for the sake of changing, as some people just change for the sake of changing and you become unstable. But change for good purpose is what God expects from us. He expects that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all discernment or judgment. So as we perceive things, God, our love for Christ, that is the test always, isn't it? Our love for him, and then we see things and we should be able to change. because we approve things that are more excellent, and also to be able to be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ. So these fellows here must have worked it all out and said, well, Saul is in, lost it, and this fellow David is the fellow who, though Saul was so jealous of him because they said he only killed his thousands, but David 10,000. Jealousy is such a curse, isn't it, amongst people? The baker won't be jealous of the butcher, but a butcher will be jealous of another butcher. And jealousy was the problem that Saul had, and his disobedience to God didn't do what God wanted him to do. So what was the result of that? He'd lost people to somewhere else, you know. And of course, we look the same, how that people, how the care for people and how they're treated. We must be careful that we seek to keep the folk we have and to be able to change to suit things too when the need arises. Well, here's Joash and his brother Ahiezer. His dad's mentioned, and these two fellows, Ahiezer, his name means brother of help. A brother of help. So he's got a good brother, but he's firstly mentioned the chief. He was the chief of Ahaziah, then Joash. That's a bit different to this world, isn't it? The chief was Ahaziah, he was a brother of help, but his brother Joash had the more meaningful name. But of course the Lord said that, didn't he, about he that is greatest among you will be servant of all. But sadly, and amongst many Christians too, people want the front running seat, but don't want to do the work. Whereas it should be the other way. He was the chief fella, he was just a brother of help. Whereas his brother was the important fella, it seems. Well, Ahiezer certainly was the right fella to be in his job, but so was Joash. And probably he may have helped Joash with the looking after the oil as well, or he might have kept on with the fight and left Joash look after the oil. Well, what sort of fellows were they? Well, I think there was a fair bit of love shown, because they knew what it was to stick with David through the hard times when he was in rejection. They could get a good sight of things. I have noticed in life the same thing as you notice in Scripture. King Saul had never known rejection. David did, and made the best king. You have a look at our prime ministers of our country. Look at Howard. John Howard was kicked out by Andrew Peacock, and then came in to lead and do the best for our country of anyone that has done for that many donkey's years, because he left the country in good state with $20 billion in the black, and all a debt of $96 billion paid. And look at us now, where we've gone. These people, look how Rudd handled being defeated. Look how John Howard being defeated, how he reacted when he was defeated in graciousness, didn't he? Didn't even whinge about it. And I couldn't get over it. I thought, how could his own constituents kick him out when he's done so good for the country? It knocked Peter Costello a bit, but John Howard had been through rejection before. And when you're through rejection or going through rejection, it really puts you on your mettle, doesn't it? Yeah, whether, you know, whatever happens to us, if we understand that we're trying to do what's right, or we do right and we get on with it, and of course, then in rejection it really teaches you not to be worried too much about what the others are thinking or how people think of you, because that's often how politicians are worrying about their votes. Old Joe didn't. The Courier Mail bloke, I can't remember his name now, he said he was done the best of any state of any premier, and they said, oh, you're one of his fans. He said, no, he said, the facts speak for themselves. But he wasn't too worried. He said, if a thing was right or wrong, that was his first point, and the second point was if it was good for the people at the time. He'd have some fun today being right or wrong. They're not even saying that it's wrong according to God's law, same-sex marriages. They're just sort of pushing around it, and what's his name, the leader of the opposition, he's got a sister who's lesbian. So it's sort of steadied him up in his hard line, But still, they can still say, God says, the laws, that's the law. That is it. And that would be a great help if people stood and said, this is what God says, right? But we can have grace, we can show kindness to people in certain circumstances, but not to change the law to suit those who are doing wrong. Well, here was these two boys, and what sort of fellows were they? One thing they were helpers of the war, reminding us that there's a war going on. There's a spiritual warfare, and there's a war going on for the souls of people. And we need to have the gospel going out, and we need to strengthen the people of God for the war. And so they were able to come down and help David, weren't they? They knew he had the right focus, and they could use both hands. They were ambidextrous and versatile. They could shoot stones or shoot arrows. Yeah. Like David, you can think of David looking after the sheep there as a young fellow with that sling. I often think of that. I'll bet he practiced and practiced. Right? He could shoot at a hair's breadth. It says of those 400 men of Benjamin could shoot at a hair's breadth and not miss. But if they practiced and looking after sheep, he'd had time, and time to write the psalms, and time to play the harp. He practiced. And here was these fellows. Armed they were. Yeah. What about the men of Ephraim? They turned back in the day of battle and they were armed. So we need courage, don't we? Sometimes you just feel like this is too big for us to do. When we were looking at getting some more Gospels of John, we said, well, okay, Marty said we could get a container and have 100,000 in it, and it wouldn't be too much more on the costing. And then the fellow said, well, look, we can only give you 40,000 this year. And so then he says, okay, we'll go with that. But what about for next year? Marty said, well, we'll take the 100,000 next year. And he got off the email and said to me, so, well, we've got the first lot coming, but we'll... And I said, what? 100,000 next year? My legs were running pretty tired, 5:30 in the morning, getting up and delivering the Gospels of John. And so I didn't go to the gym too often those weeks. But the interest of helpers of the war was on, they were armed, and I thought those Gospels of John have been a marvellous arming for us, because you can... They're the Word of God. They're a Logos 21 translation, and they're very clear, though. They start off, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's fairly good thing for us to have. So if those get through, we're looking at a big sort of effort, and you look, say, hello. Who's equal to the task? Only the Lord can. But we feel that with the Word of God going into the homes is so important, you know, and people have rung up and thanked that for them, and some have come, but a couple have rung up and weren't happy, and a couple sent some back. So you never know the reaction, do you? Well, they were ambidextrous and they were versatile. I think they were pretty accurate too. You know, it says of Ezra was a ready scribe. He was an accurate scribe. The word ready, he was accurate. And we need to be accurate in the things of God too. We've got a lot of stuff. I was listening to Jimmy Swaggart's wife and son and them talking the other day, and they're so concerned in America of all these things happen. And was it Kansas? They've routed out twice running. They've had the same-sex marriages brought forward, and they've kicked them out, and they've done it again. So they've got them up again. So in a few years, they've had that put on the table for twice, and they've been defeated, but they're still coming again. And they said, well, how can this be? How can they still keep bringing this forward when the motion has been defeated? And they said, well, they've got the money to keep pushing it. And how evil keeps presenting itself all the time, doesn't it? That war will always be there with that sort of behaviour with these people. And they're like those before. So the war is on. And we've got plenty of other aspects of the war as well, haven't we? But if people are starting to accept that behaviour, what's going to happen to the young people? We see it in school today. the difference of kids compared to years ago, and we're seeing it all the time. My nephew is a high school teacher, and he said, you know, he's the coordinator for what was grade 7 or grade 8. He said, you just see, so every year things are sort of, kids are getting worse sort of behaviour. And he's not a Christian, that lad. He's 46 years old, but he said, you know, he can't get over just the difference that he's seeing with kids, you know. So, okay, as we look at this, we can just sort of think of these fellows. Joash was given a responsible job, and I think David would have said, yeah, he's proved himself. He came down to me at Ziklag when things were bad, and we can trust him because we've had the battles, and we don't have to think that about the Lord. We know we can trust the Lord in his job, a merciful and faithful high priest. But in our jobs for the Lord, ourselves, to be people who can be trusted, to be accurate in the scriptures, to understand accurately, and to have the purpose that we're there for the real reason, as David really was. He was there to fight the battles of the Lord, as his name's wife had said of her. So the battles of the Lord, and of course they were men who had loyalty to David, or people that we understand having love and care. So that's the fellow, Joash. He was elevated to a job of responsibility, but he'd been proven. And I think that's how it says of elders and of deacons, you know, first to be proved and then, of course, to take the job that's of responsibility. So we'll just leave that at that, eh?